in life, oh, I should let the children be excused. Is that what I'm supposed to do at this point? Well, as the children are making their way out, in life, we often find it helpful to have a goal or a future to look to. We find it helpful to answer the question, why? Why do we do what we do? Why are we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? It usually happens, and that why is related to the goal that we have before us, or even the future, whatever it may be. That has a lot to say with our why and what we do. Now, there are futures that are indeed seem to be a long way off, and so sometimes we delay our why, what we do. There's a health center up on Waverly I drive by, and it consistently has different signs asking about what excuse I and everyone else who drives by is making for why we're not improving our health. Why not start today? Those are because there's often a future goal. I will get more healthy, well, next week. You know, I will start eating better and next week. I'll start exercising better next week. There are future-wise, futures that sometimes delay our why for what we do. And then there are times where future seems to have a barrier in front of it. Some kind of blockade, something that disrupts what we hope for, what we desire, what that future might be. And so our why for what we do can be challenged because there's a barrier that's in the way that struggle keeps us from struggling forward. Such is the case with the passage we're going to read today. We're going to read from the prophet Isaiah, and we're going to read about the hope that people had, the hope that they carried within their breasts, the hope that they had for a future that at many times seemed either far off or how could that ever come? And so one has to ask, how did they hold on to that hope when it so often seemed distant or with the numerous barriers in front of it? Because the prophets over and over said that this hope would come. And so from generation to generation, there was a people, the Israelites, who passed on this hope, even though they could not yet see it. They couldn't see the hints for it even, other than what the prophets had claimed. They knew it was someday, but they could see numerous barriers in front of that day. Numerous ways to be cynical and sarcastic and say, yeah, right. But yet there it was, this hope that was held. This hope that explained the why for why they behaved and did what they did. Because even though that future was far off, or even though that future seemed blocked, there was a hope that was promised there that they held to. And so they acted and behaved or worked towards that hope. And we're going to read about that hope here in Isaiah in the second chapter, beginning at the second verse. Let us pray. Lord, may you open to us your word. May we hear it anew. May we hear our own hope as well. In Jesus' name, amen. In the second chapter of Isaiah, we hear this at verse 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Not many verses, but still verses that hold out a hope of what will be. I love that. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. That is to say, it will be. The whole vision that is given here from Isaiah is a vision that is stating at the very beginning, this will be. It shall come to pass. This is a certainty that will happen. It's not a, well, we hope that it'll happen. No, this is a different kind of hope. This is a hope that you can hang on and trust in. It's going to happen. It's not saying exactly when, except for the next phrase. But it's saying it will happen. It's a call to us as Christians, even today, that as much as we celebrate Christmas and the coming of the Christ child, which is a wonderful thing to do, don't mishear me. It is wonderful to celebrate God's gift to the world. It's an incredible joy. But with that is to remember that it's not done, that Christ will return. It shall come to pass. And then the next phrase is, in the latter days. In the latter days, meaning not only is this going to happen, but those latter days, this is the final days, those closing days, it's a reference to this overall reality that we know, this idea of creation from beginning to end. Isaiah is saying, in the latter days, at the ending of what we know, the reality we live in, there's going to be a change. What we know, the way we experience life, the way we live, the reality we understand, is going to change. In the latter days, at the end of this creation, things are going to be changing. So it's not only that it's going to happen, it's also giving us a specific when, not maybe as specific as we want to know, where some of us might want to say, hey, I could really use a date here. You know, it happens in my household. When are we going to celebrate this event? Determining on when we're going to celebrate. Birthdays for us are not always celebrated on the same day of the birth. Does that happen in your house? Our life tends to move at a pace. This is not an indirect brag. Our life tends to move at a pace that we can't always celebrate the very day of. Matter of fact, that's usually unusual for us. So what we usually need is a target as to when are we going to celebrate the birthday. And once we know the target date, then we start changing our reality, the ways we behave, what we have to do in order to achieve and reach that birth date. There's a part of us that want to know, when is the day? Because if I know the day, I can start correcting my lifestyle and my approach to things in accord with that day. Isaiah is saying that day is in the latter days. At the other end, the bookend of creation, from creation's start to its end, in that latter days, this is what's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then the hope is begun to be described to us. And the hope is amazing. Imagine carrying this if you were a people who lived most of your life from generation to generation as an oppressed people. Imagine, if you will, if you could look back as a nation to a time when things were glorious. For them, in their mindset, the days of Solomon, the son of David, who ruled over such a vast amount of land and was wealthy, enormously wealthy, and wise, wiser than any, that other nations would come to him for advice. They could imagine a time and even wonder how glorious that time really was because it had waned so much. But they had a mindset that's hard for us as Americans sometimes to address because we often, most people in the generations that are living today, have lived most of their time in a time where our nation is a powerhouse. One could argue the last three, maybe even four, but certainly three decades, we've been the single powerhouse. We would have trouble relating to some generations previous who didn't know us to be such. So it's hard sometimes for us to step into the mindset of a people who could no longer experience or say, yeah, grandma remembers or grandpa remembers. They hadn't lived it for generations where they were at the top of the heap. Not only that, they were on a piece of land through which all major empires, studying your history books, whether Egyptians, Assyrians, Babylonians, Romans, Greeks, all through all of them, they all flowed trade through their small piece of real estate. It flowed through them. And so they were often the vassal state of one power or another. So it shall come to pass, a distant future, often with barriers, in the latter days at the far end of this created reality that we know, it shall come to pass. And it's amazing the image that's given, that Zion or Jerusalem, or more to point, the temple, the house of the Lord, upon the mount upon which it sat, the image was that it would be higher than all other heights. It's a use of Hebrew poetry here. I was never good at poetry myself, but because I struggled with rhymes and I could never make good rhymes, and then I often got lost in the metaphors, but Hebrew poetry is different than the poetry we expect with rhymes. Hebrew poetry simply repeats a concept twice, saying the same thing differently. Saying it one way one time, saying it another way the second time. That's Hebrew poetry. So listen what they're looking for. That the mountain of the house of the Lord, in other words, the temple, shall be established as the highest of the mountains. It shall be, in the second one, it shall be lifted up above the hills. Hebrew poetry. You'll see it again and again in this passage. And the concept is their little Jerusalem, more particularly Zion, the temple, the place of the Lord, will be lifted up above all places. Now, what are they saying? Are they saying suddenly that that mountain's going to grow? No. They're saying that that mountain, that mount as it were, that place will be recognized as higher than anything else. It'll no longer be looking to the philosophers of the West or looking to the power of Rome. the highest height, the most important, will be the house of the Lord. It's strange for us as a culture. We're not used to the way other cultures just go across the pond, as they say, to England or go over to France or some of these other countries. If we had a quiz right now and I asked you to name who's the Prime Minister of Great Britain or who's the President of France, you know, some of us might get it. But all those countries, right now, because of the power situation around the globe, pay attention to the election that takes place in the United States and who's president. It's a mindset we live in that we can't see. The mindset that's being lifted up here is that it's going to happen, that there's going to be a point in the latter days where God's dwelling, God's house, God will be the central figure, that everything and everyone will look to him. And then it expands. So it's like that's the central idea, but after that, the rest of the prophecy expands upon the idea. You know, how we'll say a statement, and someone will say, well, explain a little more what you mean by that. And that's what the prophet Isaiah does. He goes on to explain, what does it mean for the house of the Lord, for all of this, for everything to center on the house of the Lord? What does that mean? It means this. He says, all people, all nations, again, Hebrew thought, all people, all nations, will flow to it. Everyone will be focused upon God. We live a lawful life right now to know our reality is that not everyone focuses on God. Matter of fact, as Christians, sometimes we struggle to keep our focus on God. No, reality is often going another stream. It's taking another path. It's going another direction. All these emphases. There's a reason we come up with statements for remember the reason for the season? Because we get so involved in Christmas and all the joy of Christmas that we forget what it's about. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the house of the Lord will be lifted up at the highest, and all people, all thinking, will flow to it. And here's the why. The prophet goes on to say why. Because people will want to know the word of the Lord. They will want to know God's law. They will want to know God's gift to us, what God has to say. Think about what that would be like. Don't we yearn for that day as well? What the prophet is talking about is a word that we have. It's called alignment. When you drive down the road and one of your tires isn't aligned, a lot of things happen. One, you hear kind of a weird noise. Another thing happens is that tire wears down very quickly. And it often makes the parts of your car shake a little bit, makes some of them go loose. Alignment's important. But we live our reality, the reality we know, often unaligned. Our reality is to live life where everybody's got a different thought, a different direction, a different truth. We're not at all aligned. The prophet is saying all people, everyone, will want to know, all nations will want to know the word of the Lord. All people will hunger for it. They will want to be aligned. You see it all the time in siblings, right? Children playing in the room, and then there's a disagreement. They start fighting over things, and they can't win. One person's arguing with another, a third person's weighing in, someone else decides to just throw gasoline on the fire and make it all the more explosive. It's a real mess. Until someone lifts up, yeah, but mom says. And at that point, everybody has to decide whether or not they're going to align with what mom has said, even though mom's not there. Because mom may come in very soon. And when mom comes in, do you want to be aligned or unaligned? It shall come to pass in the latter days that everyone's going to see the house of the Lord as the highest, that God is going to be the highest. And what does that look like? Everyone's going to be drawn to God. Everybody's going to hunger for God's word. And God, and this is where it goes on, the image, the vision goes on, God will judge between. God will arbitrate between. In the example I just gave of the children fighting, what if mom was in there from the start and said, nope, that's his. No, give that to her. God will take care of all disputes, all disagreements. We could walk out of here in a few minutes and immediately disagree on one thing or another. But this is about alignment. And God will be the one to bring us into alignment such that, and here's where the vision starts to unfold. What does that look like for us? Well, those swords, the things we fight with, the words that we have, the little digs we make, the images, the swords will be turned into pruning hooks and plowshares. That the implements of war, the implements of destruction, will be turned into things that are used for growth and production and development. We all know a person who's witty and can be very sharp-tongued. Imagine if those same words were turned to be words of encouragement and strengthening. If that quick wit was used just as quick to enter in to build someone up. This is the vision. This is the time of preparation for the coming of the Lord. We're being encouraged and challenged to see the day is going to come. It'll be in the latter days. It's going to come. It's going to be in the latter days. It's going to happen. But the encouragement for us is now to start living into that hope. To living as if that latter day is very soon. Because in that way of thinking, and in that world, everything is smoothed. Everything, the war implements are all put away. Such that they won't even learn war anymore. And the last verse is a verse that pulls us back to the opening part of what I said. If we know what our future is that we're looking for, if we know what our hope is, our goal is, that explains our why we do what we do. My wife once said, if you really want rain and you're praying for rain, if you're praying for rain and it's been no rain for 3 weeks and you really need rain and you're praying for rain, you best walk out that door with an umbrella, even when the weatherman's calling for a sunny day. That's what the prophet's saying. This is going to happen. This is going to certainly happen. It's not a question of whether it will happen. It will happen. The call is to live in that now as though it's soon. And so this last phrase should make more sense to us. Verse 5 says this, O house of Jacob, O house of Israel, O people of God, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. It's a call to move us away from the reality we know, to live and walk toward the future we see. The future when all that struggle and strain has been put away because everyone is aligned around the Lord. So let us try. Let us practice. Let's have our own little lab experiment. And let us work to live that way with one another and with our friends, our neighbors, and our fellow churches. With the community, let us walk in the light of the Lord, knowing the future that is to come. Let's pray. Almighty God, may you bless us on our way, that our way may be your way, that we may be aligned with one another, walking to your way, O Lord, your light. Guide us in your steps, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember that you belong to Christ. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours this day and forevermore. Amen.